And now, the opinion of the court in Jack Daniel's Properties, Inc. v. VIP Products, LLC, decided June 8, 2023. Justice Kagan delivered the opinion for a unanimous court. Justice Sotomayor filed a concurring opinion in which Justice Alito joined. Justice Gorsuch filed a concurring opinion in which Justices Thomas and Barrett joined. This case is about dog toys and whiskey, two items seldom appearing in the same sentence. Respondent VIP Products makes a squeaky, chewable dog toy designed to look like a bottle of Jack Daniel's whiskey, though not entirely. On the toy, for example, the words Jack Daniel's becomes Bad Spaniels. And the descriptive phrase Old No. 7 Brand Tennessee Sour Mash Whiskey turns into the old No. 2 on your Tennessee carpet. The jokes did not impress petitioner Jack Daniel's Properties. It owns trademarks in the distinctive Jack Daniel's bottle and in many of the words and graphics on the label, and it believed Bad Spaniels had both infringed and diluted those trademarks. Bad Spaniels had infringed the marks, the argument ran, by leading consumers to think that Jack Daniel's had created or was otherwise responsible for the dog toy. And Bad Spaniels had diluted the marks, the argument went on, by associating the famed whiskey with, well, dog excrement. The Court of Appeals, in the decision we review, saw things differently. Though the federal trademark statute makes infringement turn on the likelihood of consumer confusion, the Court of Appeals never got to that issue. On the court's view, the First Amendment compels a stringent threshold test when an infringement suit challenges a so-called expressive work. Here, so said the court, the Bad Spaniels toy. And that test knocked out Jack Daniel's claim, whatever the likelihood of confusion. Likewise, Jack's dilution claim failed, though on that issue the problem was statutory. The trademark law provides that the non-commercial use of a mark cannot count as dilution. The Bad Spaniels marks, the court held, fell within that exemption because the toy communicated a message, a kind of parody, about Jack Daniel's. Today, we reject both conclusions. The infringement issue is the more substantial. In addressing it, we do not decide whether the threshold inquiry applied in the Court of Appeals is ever warranted. We hold only that it is not appropriate when the accused infringer has used a trademark to designate the source of its own goods. In other words, has used a trademark as a trademark. That kind of use falls within the heartland of trademark law and does not receive special First Amendment protection. The dilution issue is more simply addressed. The use of a mark does not count as non-commercial just because it parodies or otherwise comments on another's products. Part 1, Section A. Start at square one with what a trademark is and does. The Lanham Act, the core federal trademark statute, defines a trademark as follows. Any word, name, symbol, or device, or combination thereof, that a person uses to identify and distinguish his or her goods from those manufactured or sold by others, and to indicate the source of the goods. The first part of that definition, identifying the kind of things covered, is broad. It encompasses words, graphic designs, and so-called trade dress, the overall appearance of a product and its packaging, like a Hershey's Kiss in its silver wrapper. The second part of the definition describes every trademark's primary function, to identify the origin or ownership of the article to which it is affixed. Trademarks can, of course, do other things: catch a consumer's eye, appeal to his fancies, and convey every manner of message. But whatever else it may do, a trademark is not a trademark unless it identifies a product source and distinguishes that source from others. In other words, a mark tells the public who is responsible for a product. In serving that function, trademarks benefit consumers and producers alike. A source-identifying mark enables customers to select the goods and services that they wish to purchase, as well as those they want to avoid. The mark quickly and easily assures a potential customer that this item, the item with this mark, is made by the same producer as other similarly marked items that he or she liked or disliked in the past. And because that is so, the producer of a quality product may derive significant value from its marks. They ensure that the producer itself, and not some imitating competitor, will reap the financial rewards associated with the product's good reputation. To help protect marks, the Lanham Act sets up a voluntary registration system. Any mark owner may apply to the Patent and Trademark Office to get its mark placed on a federal register. Consistent with trademark law's basic purpose, the lead criterion for registration is that the mark in fact serve as a trademark to identify and distinguish goods. If it does, and the statute's other criteria also are met, the registering trademark owner receives certain benefits useful in infringement litigation. But the owner of even an unregistered trademark can use the mark in commerce and enforce it against infringers. The Lanham Act also creates a federal cause of action for trademark infringement. In the typical case, the owner of a mark sues someone using a mark that closely resembles its own. The court must decide whether the defendant's use is likely to cause confusion, or to cause mistake, or to deceive. The keystone in that statutory standard is likelihood of confusion. And the single type of confusion most commonly in trademark law's sights is confusion about the source of a product or service. Confusion as to source is the bête noire of trademark law, the thing that stands directly opposed to the law's twin goals of facilitating consumers' choice and protecting producers' goodwill. Finally, the Lanham Act creates a cause of action for the dilution of famous marks, which can succeed without likelihood of confusion. A famous mark is one widely recognized by the public as designating the source of the mark owner's goods. Dilution of such a mark can occur by tarnishment, as the statute describes the idea, an association arising from the similarity between two marks, one of them famous, may harm the reputation of the famous mark and thus make the other mark's owner liable. But there are exclusions, categories of activity not actionable as dilution. One exclusion protects any non-commercial use of a mark. Another protects a fair use of a mark in connection with parodying, criticizing, or commenting upon the famous mark owner or its goods. The fair use exclusion, though, comes with a caveat. A defendant cannot get its benefit, even engaging in parody, criticism, or commentary, when using the similar-looking mark as a designation of source for the defendant's own goods. In other words, the exclusion does not apply if the defendant uses the similar mark as a mark. Section B. A bottle of Jack Daniels. No, Jack Daniels Old No. 7 Tennessee Sour Mash Whiskey boasts a fair number of trademarks. Recall what the bottle looks like, or better yet, retrieve a bottle from wherever you keep liquor. It's probably there. Jack Daniels is a registered trademark, as is Old No. 7. So too the arched Jack Daniels logo, and the stylized label with filigree. Finally, what might be thought of as the platform for all those marks, the whiskey's distinctive square bottle, is itself registered. VIP is a dog toy company, making and selling a product line of chewable rubber toys that it calls Silly Squeakers. Yes, they squeak when bitten. Most of the toys in the line are designed to look like and to parody popular beverage brands. There are, to take a sampling, Dos Perros, Dos Equis, Smella Arpa, Stella Artois, and Doggy Walker, Johnny Walker. VIP has registered trademarks in all those names, as in the umbrella term, Silly Squeakers. In 2014, VIP added the Bad Spaniels toy to the line. VIP did not apply to register the name or any other feature of Bad Spaniels. But according to its complaint, further addressed below, VIP both owns and uses the Bad Spaniels trademark and trade dress. And Bad Spaniels trade dress, like the dress of many Silly Squeakers toys, is designed to evoke a distinctive beverage bottle with label. Even if you didn't already know, you'd probably not have much trouble identifying which one. Bad Spaniels is about the same size and shape as an ordinary bottle of Jack Daniels. The faux bottle, like the original, has a black label with stylized white text and a white filigreed border. The words Bad Spaniels replace Jack Daniels in a like font and arch. Above the arch is an image of a spaniel. This is a dog toy, after all. Below the arch, the Old No. 2 on your Tennessee carpet replaces Old No. 7 Tennessee Sour Mash Whiskey in similar graphic form. The small print at the bottom substitutes 43% poo by volume and 100% smelly for 40% alcohol by volume, 80 proof. The toy is packaged for sale with a cardboard hang tag so it can be hung on store shelves. At the bottom is a disclaimer. This product is not affiliated with Jack Daniel's Distillery. In the middle are some warnings and guarantees. And at the top, most relevant here, are two product logos. On the left for the Silly Squeakers line, and on the right for the Bad Spaniels toy. Soon after Bad Spaniels hit the market, Jack Daniels sent VIP a letter demanding that it stop selling the product. VIP responded by bringing this suit, seeking a declaratory judgment that Bad Spaniels neither infringed nor diluted Jack Daniels' trademarks. The complaint alleged, among other things, that VIP is the owner of all rights in its Bad Spaniels trademark and trade dress for its durable, rubber, squeaky novelty dog toy. Jack Daniel's counterclaimed under the Lanham Act for both trademark infringement and trademark dilution by tarnishment. VIP moved for summary judgment on both claims. First, VIP argued that Jack Daniel's infringement claim failed under a threshold test derived from the First Amendment to protect expressive works like the Bad Spaniels toy. When those works are involved, VIP contended, the so-called Rogers test requires dismissal of an infringement claim at the outset unless the complainant can show one of two things: that the challenged use of a mark has no artistic relevance to the underlying work, or that it explicitly misleads as to the source or the content of the work. Because Jack Daniel's could make neither showing, VIP argued, the likelihood of confusion issue became irrelevant. Second, VIP urged that Jack Daniel's could not succeed on a dilution claim because Bad Spaniels was a parody of Jack Daniel's and therefore made fair use of its famous marks. The district court rejected both contentions for a common reason. Because VIP had used the cribbed Jack Daniel's features as trademarks, that is, to identify the source of its own products. In the court's view, when another's trademark is used for source identification, as the court thought was true here, the threshold Rogers test does not apply. Instead, the suit must address the standard infringement question: whether the use is likely to cause consumer confusion. And likewise, VIP could not invoke the dilution provision's fair use exclusion. Parodies fall within that exclusion, the court explained, only when the uses they make of famous marks do not serve as a designation of source for the alleged diluter's own goods. The case thus proceeded to a bench trial where Jack Daniel's prevailed. The district court found, based largely on survey evidence, that consumers were likely to be confused about the source of the Bad Spaniels toy. And the court thought that the toy, by creating negative associations with canine excrement, would cause Jack Daniel's reputational harm. But the Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit reversed, ruling that the district court had gotten the pre-trial legal issues wrong. In the Ninth Circuit's view, the infringement claim was subject to the threshold Rogers test because Bad Spaniels is an expressive work. Although just a dog toy, and surely not the equivalent of the Mona Lisa, it communicates a humorous message. The Court of Appeals therefore returned the case to the district court to decide whether Jack Daniel's could satisfy either of Rogers' two prongs. And the Ninth Circuit awarded judgment on the dilution claim to VIP. The court did not address the statutory exclusion for parody and other fair use, as the district court had. Instead, the Court of Appeals held that the exclusion for non-commercial use shielded VIP from liability. The use of a mark may be non-commercial, the court reasoned, even if used to sell a product. And here it was so, the court found, because it parodies and comments humorously on Jack Daniel's. On remand, the district court found that Jack Daniel's could not satisfy either prong of Rogers, and so granted summary judgment to VIP on infringement. Jack Daniel's appealed, and the Ninth Circuit summarily affirmed. We then granted certiorari to consider the Court of Appeals rulings on both infringement and dilution. This opinion has been divided into two parts, and we've just come to the end of the first. Next episode, we will pick up right where this episode left off. Until then, thanks for listening to What SCOTUS Wrote Us.